Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
From KUNC and the NPR Network, this is In the NoCo, a daily slice of Northern Colorado news and happenings. It's Friday, April 5th. I'm Erin O'Toole. This coming Monday, a total solar eclipse will darken the skies over 13 states from Texas up to Maine. While our state is not in the path of totality, that's where the moon completely covers the sun, here in northern Colorado, we will be treated to a partial solar eclipse. About 63 to 65% of the sun will disappear behind the moon. Still pretty exciting. A total solar eclipse over the U.S. is pretty rare. The last one occurred in August of 2017. And it just so happens that our new producer, Ariel Lavery, was lucky enough to be in the path of totality for that one. Ariel, hello and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
So what was that experience like for you?
We had some friends with a huge backyard and a hill without any trees that had full viewing space of the sky that invited a bunch of people over, a bunch of artists. And we all kind of gathered in that area. It's very remote, very rural. And we all decided the moment before the eclipse happened that we were going to be very quiet and try to listen to what some of the wildlife was doing to see if they were reacting to the eclipse as well. So we all got really quiet. The total eclipse time was somewhere in the space of 3 minutes, I think. Mm-hmm. But it felt like a long pause. When you're with a bunch of people staying quiet for that amount of time, watching a celestial event, you kind of go into a little bit of a deep time experience.
Yeah, it really just seems like a great opportunity to give yourself over to this really awe-inspiring experience.
Yeah.
I know some people, myself included, will be traveling to have that experience. It just so happens that this year, my hometown of Dayton, Ohio, will be in the path of totality. So I'm very excited about that. And I should note that you and your family are moving back to Northern Colorado soon, but you have not made the move yet.
That's right. We're lucky enough to be here for the next solar eclipse, to be in the path of totality.
I think that's so incredible. What are the odds of being there for two total solar eclipses?
That's true, especially after you learn about how often this really happened.
Right. But, you know, there was a time when Colorado was the place drawing thousands of eclipse tourists. That was back in the late 1800s. There was a total solar eclipse over Pikes Peak on July 29th, 1878. So, Ariel, I thought this would be a good time to listen to an interview with Steve Ruskin. He's an astronomy historian based in Colorado Springs and the author of a book called America's First Great Eclipse that tells that story.
Sounds great. Let's listen.
So obviously, 1878 was a long time ago, but I have to think there are some similarities between eclipse tourism then and now. What sort of lengths did people go to get to Denver, to Colorado Springs, which was kind of an epicenter for this event?
We know today that people are making plans to see this upcoming great eclipse, but Americans back in 1878 were very excited about the eclipse as well, but it was very different. They couldn't just get in their car and drive to see it. I mean, this was 1878. The Transcontinental Railroad had just been completed less than 10 years prior. The Civil War was still a recent memory for many people, and the West was still the Wild West. It was the frontier. So many of the states that we now know were still territories, like Wyoming. Colorado had just become a state in 1876, so it was only 2 years old when they knew that this eclipse was going to go over the Rocky Mountains. So tourists came west not only to see the eclipse, but also to see the Rockies for the first time, many of them.
So I know a lot of people are flocking right now to these small, underpopulated towns, maybe. What was it like back in 1878?
Well, it was very similar. I mean, Colorado Springs, for example, had barely around 5,000 people, and they didn't have the advantage of the internet and people to do their Airbnb bookings. So people just started showing up. I mean, they had a sense that maybe Eastern, you know, tourists and some Europeans would come, but they never knew how many. And as the eclipse got closer, they started, you know, trains started showing up, disgorging, as they said, hundreds of people a day in Colorado Springs, in Denver, up in Wyoming. Extra cars were added to these trains to accommodate people. And before long, the hotels were filled. And like in Colorado Springs, one hotel owner started renting out local livery stables, the barns, to house tourists. And he put the tourists there instead of horses.
One thing that kind of struck me, too, is that it was not just about seeing the eclipse. It was kind of a social event, being seen seeing the eclipse.
Absolutely. Eclipses were very popular events throughout the 19th century. And then the British kind of also did it in style, being colonialists and having their empire. But in America, it was something similar. Tourism was very popular. This was a time when, after the Civil War, America was at relative peace. And more money was flowing into doing things like tourism. So those with money would go and have these, would go out to these sorts of things. And they would, strut around in front of each other, that sort of thing. I mean, one local hotel in Colorado Springs hired a band to play Beethoven and stuff, classical music, during the eclipse for its posh guests.
Was there any kind of post-eclipse benefit for some of these places in the Wild West?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think the eclipse was really a chance for many of these cities to showcase their town. I mean, every local town, even Denver, which was probably the biggest, was eager to get, to increase their population, because every city was just trying to sort of keep themselves stable. I mean, these were cities that could have folded as quickly as they grew. And so, yeah, the eclipse they saw as a great opportunity to showcase themselves and try to encourage others to move out there.
In the book, you write that the eclipse changed the field of astronomy in significant ways. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the biggest change was that American astronomers were already considered some of the best in the world. They had a lot of respect from their European counterparts. But what Europe didn't have was the Rockies. And Europeans, since Isaac Newton had suspected that observing astronomy at higher altitudes would be better because you're up above the atmosphere. You're not, the atmosphere isn't diffracting light and blocking, light of distant stars. But they never really had the chance to experience it. The 1878 eclipse occurred over the Rockies. The highest observing point was Pikes Peak at 14,000 feet. But many of the other astronomers, and there were close to 200 of them, were observing it on the high plains, or even on, in say places like Leadville or Georgetown, which 10,000 feet, give or take. And it was a chance for all these astronomers to sort of compare notes about observing at high altitude. And the long and short of it is they realized that, yes, we can see much better. We can get much better views at these high altitudes. And from that point forward, you start to see these really neat big observatories popping up in the West and then in the 20th century around the world. And now it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
And that was my conversation with author and astronomy historian Steve Ruskin, who wrote America's First Great Eclipse. I have to say, I mean, that was such a great visual about the trains just disgorging thousands of passengers, like right at the foot of Pikes Peak. And even if I'm sitting in traffic while eclipse viewing, it won't be quite like that.
Yeah, you're definitely part of the collective experience at that point, right?
Exactly. Maybe not in the way that you want to be.
What was so interesting to me when he's talking about that kind of mass migration to witness the eclipse is just the sense that people living in the United States had about visiting the frontier still. We come out of this culture of people who want to see the frontier. They feel they're part of the frontier. And that seems evident in that mass movement.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I also love that although this was a tourism-driven event, it really cemented the importance of astronomy here in Colorado. Well, Ariel, I wish you clear skies, don't forget your eclipse glasses, and happy eclipse watching.
We'll have to swap notes afterwards.
And that is it for us today here on In the Know Co. Ariel and I will be back with you Tuesday with more of what's happening in Northern Colorado. Our theme music was composed by Colorado artist Robbie Reaver. I'm Erin O'Toole. Have a great weekend.